today on Living on Every Word.
We submit to the sovereign work of God in our lives. So never forget these things. Especially when you're being stabbed in the back, spoken of in an evil way. We remember that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and what God begins in our lives, He finishes.
Have you ever walked through a season where you were so hurt by someone that you felt like you just couldn't let go and forgive? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how forgiveness is an essential part of God's plan in part 5 of Portraits of Forgiveness.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 49. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 26 and continue our study on portraits of forgiveness. And we'll be looking at finishing up with Joseph this morning and how he lived his life to really face some really hard obstacles, to rise above those obstacles, and to be not only a man of faith, but to see God bless and use him in mighty, mighty ways. So that maybe if we're facing trial or struggle, or we have a boatload of trial and struggle behind us, to know that God wants to use those trials and those struggles for the glory and honor of God, so that he might propel us to the places that we need to be positioned to be used by him in a mighty, mighty way. Joseph was used in a mighty, mighty way of God. And it's an incredible story from chapters 37 to the end of this book called Genesis. And I just want to encourage you to look at these principles that we're going to talk about and to ask the question, am I truly a person from the heart that forgives and doesn't hold the grudge and doesn't walk in bitterness and unforgiveness? The hallmark of Joseph's life was that. I saw what I call an email bumper sticker. Do you ever get an email or a posting? It's like a bumper sticker, you know, it could be found on one. And it said this, it said, when you hold a grudge, you let that person live in your head rent-free. When you hold a grudge, you allow that person to live in your head rent-free. And I have noticed that in people's lives, that when hard things happen and hard things come your way, and a lot of those times those hard things is because of what other people might have said or what other people might have done to you or to your children or to whatever, and you hold that grudge, and what happens is you become defined by that grudge. You become defined by that bitterness and that unforgiveness. And as we look at Joseph, we understand here's a guy who is at a very young age could be a person that could really hold a grudge and walk in unforgiveness and bitterness. If there's anyone in history that could, it would be Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, of Jacob's first love, Rachel, who died giving birth to Joseph's brother, Benjamin. Joseph was born when Jacob was old. So Jacob had a very special connection with Joseph. We know a couple of things about him just right off. Is there are a couple of good qualities in Joseph's life. The first one is that Joseph was a young man of integrity. He was a young man of integrity. How do we know that? Well, his dad trusted him as a hard worker, as someone who looked out after the family business. And I think somehow Jacob understood that the other brothers were not being very faithful to the family business of goat and sheep. And oftentimes he'd send Joseph to check on him because he knew that Joseph would come back and give an accurate report of what was happening in the fields. And that's what he did. If there was a reason to bring back a bad report, not as a tattletale, but as someone that really had this desire to see their business succeed. And so if the other workers weren't doing what they needed to be doing, I mean, he did. If Dad told me to go and to give him a report, I'm going to give him a report. I'm going to give him an honest report. Well, as a result of that, the scripture says that his brothers hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms, according to Genesis chapter 37, verse 4. As a result of that, Joseph begins this process of being wounded by the words and actions of his brothers. And his brothers do not like him. His brothers speak evil of him. His brothers do not like him. There's a second thing that I think is really important about Joseph, and that he was a young man of visions and dreams. He had visions and dreams. He heard his heavenly father. His father gave to him dreams, and they were pretty huge dreams. I mean, they were pretty wild dreams. And here you have brothers who are already disliking him, and so he says, hey, I've dreamed a dream. And essentially the dream is that one day you're going to bow down to me. Now, I don't know if that's a very good thing to do to your brothers who already don't like you, because the Bible says they would hate him even more because of that. They would hate him even more. Now, I know that families have problems, and I know that there's a lot of families that are dysfunctional in this world, and I know the jealousy of brothers. But can I tell you this? Family is essentially all we have. And when it all comes down to it, it's who we have. And you know, I look at these brothers and I think, here's Joseph. He's a pretty bright guy. He's pretty wise. He's got integrity. He ought to have 10 brothers that are just absolutely his cheerleader. I mean, I know families like that, where the younger ones are succeeding or the younger ones have great abilities, and the older ones, they're not jealous. They're not angry about it. They love to see their brother succeed. But they don't like him. It's not happening in this family. I mean, they want to kill him. That's how bad it is. He's coming on one of his reporting trips looking for his brothers, and they see him from a distance, and they say, hey, let's just kill him. Let's just kill our brother. And God's going to use it for his glory. That's another great thing about this passage of Scripture, that no matter where we've been or what we've done, if we're children of God, he wants to use that. Where the enemy has meant it for evil, God wants to make it for good. And therefore, this is a message today of grace, and it is a message of hope. But there are hard things that happen in our lives, or there would not be grace, would there? We would not know grace if we didn't know the hard things of life. And Joseph is going through a hard place. The Bible says because of his dreams that they hated him even more, and for his words. And in chapter 11 of verse 37, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the dreams in mind. Brothers wounded by their father for favoritism, who allow the wound to fester. And the fester will come to the place where they'll hate their younger brother, a hatred that they'd want to kill him, but instead sell him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. And into Egypt's slave system, Joseph goes. We saw a couple of things last time in this passage of Scripture that I want us to look at again in a little bit more detail and then kind of finish this story. At the end of Jacob's life, when they're all back together and God's done this enormous work of bringing all of Israel's children into Egypt to save them from the famine, in verse 22 of chapter 49 of Genesis, Jacob is giving a series of blessings and he's speaking of his sons. And this is what he says of Joseph, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful branch. A fruitful branch by a spring. His branches run over a wall. Now the archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained firm and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, from the God of your father who helps you, Joseph, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. We talked about last week two things that I want to review, and then we'll move to the new material this morning. The first one is this, is that when you're struggling and when you're going through trial, like Joseph did, always remember the dreams of your father. He's dreamed dreams. He's seen visions. He's been spoken to by God. He has seen an end to his life. He has seen what God is wanting to accomplish. And everyone in this room has that same kind of vision from Scripture, the same kind of promises of what our end is going to be. Though we may not know the very specifics, but we know where we end up spiritually. We end up under the mighty hand of God who brings victory and life to his church and to his people. We know that he comes to do a significant work in our lives, to deliver us from the power of sin, to forgive us of our sins, to remove guilt, to remove all the things in our lives that just seem to mess us up and trip us up, and then one day will conform us into the image of Jesus. That's his dream. That's his vision. That's what he's called us all to. And we know the ending. So never forget these things, especially when you're being sold, stabbed in the back, spoken of in an evil way. We remember that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and what God begins in our lives, he finishes. The problem with this is that we forget that. And so we'll go in long stretches of anger and bitterness and failure. And we know that God's at work. We know that God wants to move. But we'll spend months and years sometimes in the pit of destruction when God says, no, that's not where I want you. It's time to give it up and let go. It's time to do that in your life. It's time to do that in your marriage. And some people will look at that promise and go, nope, I like my bitterness where I'm at. But you know it doesn't work for you. You know that bitterness and anger, you know that unforgiveness, you know that a life apart from Christ does not work. So never forget what God says He'll do in your life. We want to walk in agreement with our great God of the visions and the dreams that He has for us. The second thing that we saw last week is that when wounded and hurt, you can still be fruitful. You can still become strong. You can still know that God is with you to always bless you and to finish this work. And that's what Jacob is saying about Joseph. Joseph is this fruitful branch. He's got fruit coming off of his life. He's got branches going over a wall. He's a man of influence. And you know these archers over here, they bitterly attacked him. They shot at him and harassed him. But he remained firm. He remained strong. And his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From the shepherd, from the stone of Israel. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus. The stone of Israel, the cornerstone, the great shepherd of God, who comes to shepherd us and to do this work in our heart, in our lives. We can remain strong. We can remain firm. No matter what the temptation is, no matter what comes our way. Because I would say you've got brothers who are archers who are bitterly attacking this man. They're attacking his dreams. Can you imagine being sold into a slavery system by your brothers? Of course, Jacob doesn't know this. They come back to Jacob and they say, he's dead. Joseph, he's in that caravan. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him, but he's going to dream the dreams. And he's going to remain strong. I want you to notice chapter 39 of Genesis and look at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now look at verse 2. Now the Lord was with Joseph so that he became a successful man, a prosperous man, a fruitful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and became his personal servant. And Potiphar made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that Potiphar owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Can I tell you this? He might have been tempted, and he probably struggled about his brothers. But I'm going to promise you this. He didn't walk in bitterness and unforgiveness. Because I'm going to tell you this. I don't see a spiritually prosperous person who remains angry and bitter the rest of his or her life. God is with him, and God's grace is on him. And therefore, somehow in his young life, he's dreaming these dreams, he's remaining strong, and he knows that God's with him. And you know what? If you know that God's with you, that's going to hinder you from doing and saying a whole lot of things that you might normally say or do because of the presence of our great God and Savior in your life and in my life. If you've received Christ into your life, imagine what God can do in even the worst days of your life. Joseph succeeds. Why? Because of the presence of God and the favor of God. The Lord was with him. His master sees it all. Joseph finds favor in his sight, and the Lord blesses Joseph, and he blesses Potiphar, and he blesses the whole household. And he doesn't have to concern himself with anything, the Bible says, except just to eat. Because Joseph is taking care of it all. Now Joseph, if you'll look on with me, verse 6, was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. And she said, come lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. And he's put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he didn't listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. And it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were inside. So she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, you brought this Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came to me to lie with me, and I screamed. And when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So he left his garment beside her until the master came home. And she spoke to him with these words, "And the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to make sport of me. And I raised my voice and screamed, and he left his garment beside me and fled outside." And when the master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail. But watch, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible. And the chief jailer didn't supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Think about the trial that you're facing this week, this month, this year. Think about the trial. Think about how you've been responding to the trial, the struggle. And then let's take a look back at Joseph, and we can say, this can be our story in the midst of hard times and hard things. Why? Because Jesus is in your heart and life. You have his presence. And not only do you have his presence, but you have his grace. You have the grace of God. And there's something just great about God's grace. How many believe that you're under God's grace today? For a lot of us, that means that, you know what, I've got God's grace, and I didn't deserve anything to get it, and there's nothing I can do to lose it because I didn't deserve it. And that's true. But God's grace is powerful. You know, the Bible says that Joseph was a good-looking man, and he caught the eye of the lady of the house. And Potiphar's wife was an immoral woman, who attempted day after day to seduce him. And every single day, this young man, Joseph, resists her calling and frustrates her so much that she accuses him of the crime she tried to get him to commit. And day after day, he's resisting. I mean, here's this guy that's far from home. His dad thinks he's dead. He could have been so frustrated, so angry, so bitter that says, "I'm just going to do another thing. It didn't work this way. So here I am here. I'm going to do my own thing here. And nobody will ever know it because they think I'm dead." And that's how some people think. I've been in ministry for almost 35 years. And you know what I found about sexual sin and adultery? That usually adultery is not about the lust. It's about the anger and bitterness that we face over the current spouse. Angry, bitter. If he's angry and he's bitter, I'm telling you, he's going to give in to temptation. And that's why it's so important that we do not nurture anger and unforgiveness. It's where you will depart from the power of God that God has offered you in this grace. See, there's a grace that saves you, and there's a grace that keeps you. But I would tell you, there is the same grace that empowers you to say no to bitterness, anger, and lust. Bottom line, I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. You and I are to pursue peace with everybody. And we're also to pursue the sanctification. That's a big word for holiness. That's a big word for being like Jesus. Because without it, no one sees God. Now, verse 15 says this. He says this to the church. He says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God." See to it. How can I come short of the grace of God? I'm going to tell you how you come short of the grace of God. You come short of the grace of God when in temptation you decide not to walk under that same grace that saved you and delivered you and forgave you freely, but also gives you the power to say no to that temptation. If you're not saying no to the same temptation, you're coming short of God's powerful grace. Bottom line. Notice what he says. If he says it, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Don't you think that can happen? Now notice next, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. A root of bitterness. I nurture it. I walk in unforgiveness. I become bitter. And what it does, it defiles me. And it defiles me and it defiles others. It defiles that person who I include to take up my offense. That's what we do when we walk in anger and bitterness. We get together with the people that love us most and say, can you believe that he did that to me? No, I can't believe he did that to you. You don't deserve that. And before you know it, they're telling you to leave them. You're listening to the wrong voice. And it's not the voice of grace. But what happens is when I'm bitter and I'm angry, I get as many people as I can to join me in my quest to affirm in my heart that I'm right. And what that does, it defiles your friends. Because all of a sudden, they take up the same offense. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up. Where many people are defiled, it causes trouble. Yeah, when you include others to take up your offense, and then when others become the target of your offense. So see to it. It's a choice. You've got God's grace that empowers you and leads you to make the right and godly choice. And if you don't, a root of bitterness is going to come into your heart and life, and it's going to cause trouble. It's going to defile many. And you're going to look back one day, and you're going to say, I wasted 10 years thinking on this one thing, letting this one thing define me. It might be 5 years. It might be just a week. But that's 1 week too much. 1 week too much. The grace of God. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. So that when you're in temptation to walk in things that you know you're not to walk in, so that God's grace is so sufficient to not only get you out of trouble, but to keep us out of trouble. Amen. Now I want to tell you, that's good news. Do not come short of the grace of God. Do not come short of it. And I want to suggest to you and tell you what I believe is that Joseph, while he is sold into slavery, while he is accused, while he is in jail, he is prospering because he's under the mighty hand of God. He's humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, and God has given him this grace, and God has given him this presence so that he might prosper even in very hard, hard times. He dreamed the dreams of his father. He remained strong when the archers came against him, and then he stood in God's presence, and stood in God's grace. But there's a fourth thing that we must look at, and that is that we believe and we submit to the sovereign work of God in our lives. Go to Genesis chapter 45, Genesis 45, and we'll close with this morning. Genesis 45, and we'll look at verses 4 through 8. Now, Joseph is now not in slavery, but he has been exalted to the second person in power in Egypt. And he is running the show. There's been 7 years of plenty, and now there's in the middle of 7 years of famine because of a dream that he interpreted. He had the skill set, he had the wisdom, he had the insight to run the whole program. And so before long, this drought has taken place, this hunger is taking place, and there are people coming from all over the world to buy grain from Egypt. And you know who comes? His brothers. And he sees them. Now, by this time, when you're in slavery in Egypt and you are in jail, you probably learn the language pretty good, and you learn it pretty quickly, and you learn it with the accent. And they come and they don't recognize him. And Joseph says to his brothers, in chapter 45, verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, listen, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now look at verse 5. Now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. I'm not. He's telling them right off, you don't have to walk in guilt over this. You don't have to walk in shame over this. You don't have to be grieved that you did this. He's already forgiven them. And so what is he doing? He's already counseling them how not to walk in guilt, in shame, in grief. Don't be sorry. Don't be grieved that you did this. Because why? Because God sent me before you to preserve life. The famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, watch. It was not you who sent me here, but God sent me here. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now hurry, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You'll live in the land of Goshen. You'll be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds. I will provide for you. For there are still 5 years of famine to come in. They're coming. And your household and all that you have will not be impoverished. Wow. God's grace, God's presence, and this outlook that says, I'm seeing the end come. I'm seeing the dreams fulfilled. And guess what, bro? I want you to come with me. Yeah, you sold me. Yeah, you said hateful things to me, but I'm going to forgive you. Yeah, I want you to notice a couple of things like this. He didn't wait for them to say, oh, we're sorry, will you forgive me? See that? A lot of us said, we got to wait. I'm going to wait before I do anything emotionally toward them. And you don't see that. You see a guy that knows the grace of God in the midst of great evil being done to him. And so what we do is we believe and we submit to God's sovereign work. You know, when Jacob dies, and they still think, he's going to hold a grudge against us. Now the dad's dead. So we need to talk to him. We need to visit with him a little bit. And so in chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that his father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God your father. And Joseph wept. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. You know, I think after all that, Joseph still needed to hear, forgive me. He still needed to hear, forgive us. Maybe there's still that wound in your heart and your life. Maybe you've been defined by it. And maybe you do need to hear that at some point. Joseph weeps. He weeps. His brothers came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Remembering the dreams of his father, remaining strong in the midst of attack, standing in the grace and presence of God, believing and submitting to God's sovereign work. That God is at work in these things. God is at work. You know, it's the attitude of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, please don't turn there, we don't have time. But he said, while Jesus was being reviled, he did not revile in return. But he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Joseph submitted to the sovereign hand of God and found God's presence and God's grace and God's favor. And along the way, saved the nation from destruction.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on